All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court for the first day of November of 2022. It's 10:30 a.m. We'll call this meeting to order, and we'll begin our meeting as usual with an invocation. Today it'll be led by Commissioner Senegal, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Bush. If you feel led to rise, you may do so, and I believe that Commissioner Senegal is going to have Reverend Reynolds say the prayer.
Let us bow our heads. Eternal God, our Father, how we love you and praise you. We bless your name. We come in the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the gift of life. We pray now that you would bless our gathering. Look upon our leaders, our officials, and all who have gathered here on the day. We pray that you would allow us to do those things that are pleasing in your sight that would bless this community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. We're going to begin our agenda today under purchasing. Item A is consider and approve specifications for requests for proposals for development of a proposal for multi-sports training facility located at Ford Park. Item B is consider and approve specifications for requests for proposals for renewable energy generating facility located in Jefferson County. Item C is consider and approve execute, receive, and file a renewal for security services and personnel for Jefferson County. For a third one-year renewal with Allied Universal Security Services from December 30th, 2022 to December 29th, 2023. Item D is to consider and approve a renewal for a term contract for catalog pricing for janitorial supplies for Jefferson County for a fourth one-year renewal with the Home Depot Pro, Interborough Packaging Corporation, Unipac Corp, Certified Laboratory, Sanitary Supply, ICS, Jail Supplies, Inc., AutoClore Services, LLC, and Material Paper from November 15, 2022 to November 14, 2023. Item E is to consider and approve, execute, receive, and file Amendment Number 6 for Janitorial Services for Jefferson County with Southeast Texas Building Service, Inc. This amendment will add the service for Jefferson County Precinct Number 4 Service Center at 7780 Boyd Road, Beaumont, Texas, at a rate of $1,560 per month for service 3 days per week. Item F is to execute, receive, and file a letter of authorization with Harris Recording Solutions, Augment and Recorder, or HRS, for the extract of court data for Jefferson County in the amount of $4,500. This is additional court document data downloaded into the Tyler Technology system from the original letter of agreement approved on March 29, 2022. Items G and H will be tabled. Item I is to consider and approve, execute, receive, and file an agreement with Thomson Reuters Westlaw in Jefferson County for West Complete Library Law Books and CD subscription for the District Attorney's Office. Monthly cost for this two-year agreement will be $786.87 for the first year and $849.82 for the second year. Do we have a motion on those items under purchasing?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under auditor, item A is consider and approve Jefferson County Internal Ethics and Compliance Program, which satisfies the requirement of our traffic safety grant with TxDOT pursuant to Title 43 of the Texas Administrative Code, which requires specific state and federal funds recipient to adopt and enforce an internal ethics and compliance program that satisfies the requirements of Title 43, Section 1051. Item B is regular county bills, check numbers 500314 through 500528. Item C via addendum is to consider and approve a fiscal year 2023 budget transfer for health and welfare 1 and 2 for additional costs for computers in the amount of $406. And item D is to consider and approve fiscal year 2023 budget transfer for the service center for replacement of the heating and cooling unit in the amount of $7,200. Item E is to consider and approve electronic disbursement for $1,249.64 to Texas Department of Criminal Justice for November insurance reimbursements. Do I have a motion on those items under auditor?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Sinegal, seconded by Commissioner Bush. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is consider and possibly approve a resolution recognizing Loma George for 31 years and 3 months of service to Jefferson County Judge's Office and wishing her well in her retirement. Items B and C will be and D will be tabled until the 15th. Item E is to receive and file an executed local government officer conflicts disclosure statement of me pursuant to Chapter 176 of the Local Government Code. I'm going to skip items F, G, and H for now. Item I is to consider possibly approve the county judge to sign a settlement and release agreement with Symmetry for winter storm claim at Ford Park. Okay. Do I have a motion on items A and E?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, now under Commissioners, we have items F, G, and H. Item F is to... Yes. Item F is to conduct a public hearing regarding action by the Commissioners Court concerning the creation of Jefferson County Health Care Provider Participation Program pursuant to Chapter 300 of the Texas Health and Safety Code. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. We're now opening a public hearing to discuss Jefferson County's health care provider participation in a program pursuant to Chapter 300 of the Texas Health and Safety Code. I believe that has Robert and Daniel made it here yet? Okay. I believe there's been discussions between Ms. Daniel and various health care providers with my attorney as well as the county attorney and the county auditor. So...
there are some representatives.
Okay, is there anybody who would like to say anything in connection with the participation of Jefferson County in this program?
Good afternoon, County Judge, Commissioners. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. My name is Justin Flores, and I represent the private hospitals here in Jefferson County. I'm with Adelanto Healthcare Ventures out of Austin, Texas, and we are here asking the court to approve a 6% rate that'll be assessed on the private hospitals here. These dollars that are going to be assessed on the hospitals will be used in order to fund the non-federal share piece of state-administered programs.
Okay, these hospitals. I'm very sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead.
So we're conducting a public hearing on our participation in it, and then we're going to, our next item is going to be to conduct a public hearing on the amount.
Okay.
And how the revenue derived from those payments is going to be spent.
Okay.
So if you'd like to talk to the issue of whether or not we should participate, mm-hmm. that's open right now, and then we'll get to the amount here in a minute, the 6% and so forth.
All right.
Judge, I'd like you to restate, who are you representing?
We represent the private hospitals here in Jefferson County.
Well,
with Christus, Baptist, and Medical Center of Southeast Texas.
We work for Adelanto Healthcare Ventures, and we are consultants to those hospitals.
I'm a little slow, so I was wondering if we have any public ones.
Public hospitals do not utilize LPPFs that we're speaking of because they have the ability to transfer dollars to the state on their own behalf.
So the way the LPPF is set up by statute is...
I'm sorry, could you get a little closer to the mic?
Certainly. The way the LPPF is set up by statute is that it's an assessment on private hospitals only, not public hospitals. And so the funds from that are used to support these state-funded programs, as Justin was discussing, that support the private hospitals.
Okay, let me ask you a question while you're up there. So the county participates in the upper payment limit program, and we contribute about $3.6 million per year. That's leveraged to provide additional funding for the treatment of indigents within our communities. So in this particular program, the LPPF program, there is no cost to the taxpayers. Is that correct?
That's correct. This assessment is only on private hospitals, and the statute states that they cannot add that on as a surcharge to patients.
Okay, and this is a means by which private hospitals can contribute money and get enhanced reimbursements for the provision of care within the community. Is that correct?
So the assessment is on all private hospitals, and so the money then goes and supports the non-federal share of certain state-administered Medicaid programs. Those dollars from those programs go to hospitals that are providing Medicaid services, that are providing indigent services, so it's not going to ever be a one-to-one ratio of what's contributed to what is supported, but all private hospitals would be assessed, and then those private hospitals providing Medicaid services would receive enhanced rates, for example, you know, depending on the program, in support to support the cost of providing this care. And my understanding is that it goes toward supporting those costs but doesn't completely cover those costs.
Gotcha. All righty. All right, anybody else who wishes to speak in this public hearing about whether or not the county should participate in the creation of this program pursuant to Chapter 300 of the Texas Health and Safety Code?
Judge, the one thing to note, and I know we heard it last week, the city of Beaumont actually has this program, so with us, our understanding is when we adopt our program or create this, and it catches all those private hospitals within the county boundary, that's what helps everybody out. And then I believe the city of Beaumont's program would just phase out, so we're not overlapping.
That's correct. I believe they still have some funds that would go toward the next, you know, call by the state for funds to support these programs, and then it would phase out, and this would replace it, and it would cover the entire county instead of just those hospitals in the city of Beaumont, which would increase the funds available to support these programs.
And then it's my understanding the county will have a slight administrative burden, which we will be reimbursed for.
Yes, the state statute that enables this allows for administrative expenses to be reimbursed in the amount of up to $150,000.
Are the funds determined by population or by illness? How do they determine?
Are you talking about the programs that come back that paid? So those are going to depend on the specific program involved. And so I think they're mostly, it's all Medicaid, right? It's all
Medicaid. Most of these programs that are administered by the state are to help hospitals with the uninsured populations that they see, as well as Medicaid patients.
So they probably look at bills and they submit amounts of dollars to do it.
I wouldn't say characterize it exactly like that, but in a sense, yes, hospitals are looking overall at how much care that they're providing to this particular population of patients, and at that point the state looks at the overall pool sizes that are available and then allocates to the state based off of those metrics.
And thank you.
You know, that's one of the, of course, we might be jumping to the next public hearing, but the 6% is based on the services provided. Isn't that what you're billing, you're asking them to contribute on, basically those Medicaid services?
So the 6% is the limit at which a local jurisdiction can assess these private hospitals. But the means at which the 6% is based on, the basis for which that assessment is calculated, is based off of net patient revenue at each hospital.
Okay. All right.
And what's the duration of this program? Is it continuous from here on?
So just recently the programs were approved for a 10-year extension, but every year there is a CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, looks at each program and has a annual approval of each or of certain programs.
And if it goes away, there's still no cost left on the county or the taxpayers?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, there are provisions in the statute that allow the county to refund the mandatory payments paid by the hospitals in case they're no longer being able to use them because the program has gone away, for example.
Any other comment? All right, hearing nothing, this public hearing is closed. Item G is conduct a public hearing pursuant to Chapter 300 of the Texas Health and Safety Code to discuss the amount of mandatory provider participation payments for Jefferson County health care provider participation program and how the revenue derived from these payments is to be spent. Do I have a motion on that item?
So,
been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. This public hearing is now open to discuss the amount of the contribution as well as the way that the revenue derived from the payments is to be spent. Mr. Flores?
Yes. As I just stated earlier, the 6% is calculated based off of the aggregate of the hospitals in Jefferson County that are private, their net patient revenue, and based off of the need that's projected by the state, we and the hospitals are recommending that that 6% be set in order to fund the upcoming calls by the state for these programs.
Okay, so the mic is open to anyone who wishes to comment on that item. But I think the answer to Commissioner Senegal's question is no, there are no public hospitals in Jefferson County, correct? Well, you're from Austin.
Yeah. No, but we have all of that data. Currently in Jefferson County, I don't believe there are any public hospitals. I believe there are only private hospitals.
You know, so every hospital that's here is going to be able to participate in the program should they desire.
Yeah.
That's why I asked, because you were putting so much emphasis on private. I said, okay.
Yeah, the public hospitals, regardless of where they're at, have the ability to transfer funds on their own behalf.
We don't have a hospital district here.
Right.
No, we don't.
Judge, so the kind of the overview of how it'll flow is, of course, that 6% assessment will come to the county. We will set up a separate bank account at our depository at Allegiance Bank. It'll be separate. We'll be using our federal ID because it'll be under the county, but we'll have a separate state tax ID to identify those payments that we eventually send up to the state when they call for it. Sometimes it's quarterly. I think that's what they're doing now. Right now we have our upper pay limit, but we get a separate number, so it keeps those things separate up at the state level.
All right. Anybody else who wishes to speak to this issue? If not, we'll close this public hearing. We'll move on to item H. Item H is to consider possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute the necessary documents to establish and fund Jefferson County health care provider participation program pursuant to Chapter 300 of the Texas Health and Safety Code. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Bush, second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. We will need to make sure, Fred, that all of these blanks are filled in before we send the executed documents in. And that completes those agenda items under Commissioner's Court. Under Sheriff's Department, we have two items. Item A is consider possibly approve a resolution recognizing Sharon A. Hinton for 30 years and 10 days of service to the County Sheriff's Department and wishing her well in her retirement. And item B is consider and possibly approve a resolution recognizing Donald B. Jackson Sr. for 27 years and 26 days of service to Jefferson County and wishing him well in his retirement. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under Engineering Department, we have one item by addendum to execute, receive, and file an easement agreement with Mobile Pipeline Company to purchase easement from Jefferson County out of deeds recorded in the official public records for tract numbers BCPJE-040.000 and BCP-JE-040.300. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now have a time of public comment. If you're present online, you'll need to press star 6 to unmute your line, but the podium is open for items related to the agenda.
Judge, if I could, I want you to know TxDOT is having a meeting for the residents that live in and around Highway 90 on November the 15th. Since we're not meeting next week, I wanted to make that announcement. It'll be at the China Elementary School at 5 o'clock. And anybody interested in the changes they plan to make where they close some of the crossings, feel free to come. And they'll have representatives there with the maps to show you what the plans are. And you can make any comments about it.
And that's about the closure of certain crossovers on Highway 90. Obviously, TxDOT does not like to eliminate as many opportunities for conflicts and traffic patterns as they can. And sometimes that creates issues for neighborhoods as to means of ingress and egress. So this is an opportunity to speak to TxDOT about those issues. Commissioners, any?
Yes, Judge. I'd ask the judge, you and the court, to allow Ms. Graves. She had something she not pertained to the agenda, but the election.
May come up to the podium.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners, staff, neighbors. I'm Ava Graves, and I'm here on behalf of voters. Voters. We have a new system in place for our voters. We went through a whole process of getting this particular company contracted, I guess. And so with the understanding that there will be responsibility and accountability and a check and balance system. Also, the whole role of the county clerk's office as it relates to voting is to create an atmosphere where the voter feels comfortable exercising their right to vote. And what we are experiencing and what I'm getting phone calls on and what people are feeling uncomfortable about, which is perfectly legal according to the new voting bill, are the way that poll watchers are manning the voting stations in minority communities. I've had voters in the John Paul Davis area and Theodore Johns area, elderly folks who have been voting there for generations, have called and said they walked into the voting location. It's a predominantly minority community, and they see all of these people of color standing behind the polling pads, and they felt very intimidated. They even felt that they were in the wrong place to vote, that maybe the voting location had been changed. Granted, we cannot control people's behaviors, but as leaders, we can set a tone. We can communicate in a way that allows these poll watchers and poll workers to understand that what they are there for is to create a comfortable, safe environment for the voter, not to intimidate or not to cause disruption. It is unfortunate that by law, these poll workers can go where they want to and when they want to. And it is up to their discretion what personal space looks like. For me, personal space may look like from here to where we are, Judge, but to others, they're hovering over. I'm visually impaired. So for me to be a poll watcher to hear and see what's going on, I may have to be closer. but there needs to be some type of personal boundaries. The integrity of voting, the privilege of voting, the cost of voting. People should not have to be intimidated or felt cast aside. The other issue is the mask. All through the pandemic, through the primary, refresh my memory if I'm wrong, we wore our mask when we voted. We were not asked to lower our mask with our identification. So now when voters go to vote in their mask for their own health and safety, if they do not lower their mask, they are not allowed to vote. And that's legal. That's not fair. Just because it's law, it does not make it fair. And if you're not outraged by that, I don't understand. We have got to, as American citizens, drop all of this distrust and this false narrative. There has not been any proof that votes have been stolen. With this check and balance system, I was on the phone with Lori Lister this morning. An elderly gentleman who's visually impaired went to the polls in Theodore Johns to vote with his grandson. They would not allow his grandson to assist him. That was not reported. And when I report issues that are being called to our office on the Democratic side, the recourse is, well, we've been having complaints about your Democrats. Well, where are they? Call us. Let's work it out. We believe in equity. We believe in being fair. We believe in being kind and open. So that is not an answer. That feels like a tit for tat. Our voters deserve the right to vote. We may not always get what we want, but the voice of the people speaks. This is a serious season that we're in. With these new voting systems, the county clerk's office should have had people at the doors, at the curbside, everywhere possible for these new voters to get through this machine. One, this same gentleman was not even sure if his vote counted. I talked to Lori. She's not sure if it counted. And I seem to recall when the company that we went with stood up here and told us that when they check in and they get their ballot, and they cast that ballot, there is a check and balance system in place that does not compromise who they voted for or how they voted, but a check and balance. So this morning in speaking with Laura, and this is not an opportunity for blaming or accusing or any of that. This is an opportunity to understand what the process, how that process is impacting our voters, and what can we possibly do moving forward. We have asked our poll workers on our side and poll watchers, just be calm, step back. You do the right thing. You lead by example. You can't control other people. Just, you know, we can only do what we can do. So I'm speaking on behalf of the voters for Jefferson County because this is a serious issue, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever. The voting privilege in this country, that is our constitutional right. And for it to be a intimidating, harmful, hurtful, people used to leave the polls excited, posting, I voted. Now they're calling saying, I was so afraid. They frowned at me. I was fearful. And it goes on and on and on. And it's not just Democrats. It's everybody. We have got to stop this. And, you know, I can just ramble on about it, but I'm very passionate about it. I have studied diligently as county chair to understand the election rules, the poll watchers' rules. I train our team as well. I consult with our former clerk. I try to understand all aspects of it. I talk to the Secretary of State. I talk to the state party. I talk to people. I just don't go out with a myopic view. I believe in voters' rights, period, and across the line. So I would like to, I call the Republican chair to ask him what could we do collectively to get everybody on a peaceful accord. We never had this before that I can recall. And his response to me was, well, I heard Democrats are doing bad things too. And I said, well, let's see what we can do. I haven't heard back from him as of yet. And this is not a knock on him. We get busy. We have to pivot. All of that stuff I understand. But these kind of conversations they have to cease. We have to take responsibility as leaders. You have to take responsibility as leaders. Lori has to take responsibility as leaders. This company who told us that we could trust them, that we can count on them, that we would not have any issues with our voters worrying about their vote, they have let us down. Thank you.
All right, commissioners, y'all have anything further?
Pastor Reynolds, did you want to speak? He asked to speak. Also.
My name is Aaron Reynolds. I'm pastor of Borden Chapel Baptist Church here in Beaumont. I'm here today in concern about voter intimidation. I was informed that the commissioner's court has no supervisory authority over the elections, but you do have authority over the county clerk.
That is not correct.
Okay, well, help me understand.
And I'm sure that Ms. Guidry would tell you that when she was county clerk that we set her budget. She made a decision as to how she was going to conduct elections, and we cannot tell the county clerk how to conduct her elections, who to hire, who to fire, anything of that nature. So just so we had that straight. But I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No,
please,
I'm glad
proceed.
You did, because I need that correction. My concern is, I had a conversation with Ms. Lisa concerning Mary Boland. She's invading people's personal space. She's standing over the tables where the polls are, the poll pads are, as if those who have been trained don't know what they're doing. Standing behind the table in an intimidating posture, so that when a voter comes in to vote, they pass their license to the poll worker, and she takes the license from the poll worker and asks that voter what their address is. If that license has that person's name on it, the address has been verified by the polling pad, why are you asking the person what their address is? That's intimidation. Then secondly, that's an invasion of privacy, because the person should not have to state their address out loud where others can hear that. I have a problem with that. Ms. Lista says that's legal. And I said to her, so was Jim Crow. Now, to have poll watchers take pictures of me, and her name was Stephanie Figaro, what's the purpose for that? Is that to intimidate me? You're not supposed to have your phone at that vote at that polling place, but you got your phone taking a picture of me because I'm raising concerns. I've asked Ms. Lista to remove Mary Beth Boland as well as Stephanie Figaro. And I have a very good understanding, very good understanding. She agreed to move Ms. Boland because she was the problem. After I saw her talk with that lady for better than 30 minutes and they were laughing, I concluded right then that was not happening. She's been doing the same thing all week long, even this week. I voted yesterday. When I walked into the polls to vote, two white poll watchers looked at me as if I was a vagabond. I don't dress bad, and I speak to everybody. But they watched every step I took walking through that voting place. even when it came down to my going to the voting booth to vote, I didn't have a mask on my face. I've been doing public ministry for 42 years. Never have I ever experienced what I experienced yesterday. As the commissioner's court judge, you and these commissioners, y'all need to do something about that. Now, to contact the Secretary of State, to even contact the Department of Justice, it's gonna take too long for anything to be done. Election's gonna be over with in another week. Decisions are gonna already be made, but people will not have voted because of what they experience. As our elected officials, I'm asking y'all to do something. I'm asking Ms. Leister to terminate Ms. Bolin and Stephanie Figaro. That need to happen.
Anything else, Commissioner? All right. And if you find anybody who's having their vote suppressed or being intimidated, if I can assist in finding some legal counsel to combat those illegalities, I'll be happy to do that, consistent with my obligations under the Texas Judicial Conduct Commission rules.
What do you do with the person who left without voting? You call them back.
Well, if you find that person, I'll be happy to help them find legal counsel.
Yes, okay.
All righty. If there is nothing further, I want to thank all of you for being here today. I appreciate your time, and we are adjourned.